The Holy Gospel, according to John, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that does not bear. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers, and such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ to you this morning. Though our gospel passage from John this morning has been used to scare people into heaven and also show the judgment of God, this passage has more to say about the promise of love and acceptance that we receive from God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it also shows how we judge ourselves when we don't share that love and acceptance. This is part of Jesus' farewell discourse to the disciples. It takes place on the night of his arrest. And you might wonder, we're in Easter, why are we heading back to that? Well, the lectionary brings up this scripture because in Easter, the church focuses on new life. The new life that we have in Christ. We are forever changed by the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of God's only Son. This passage helps us realize how we can love and accept others, and that connects us to the living, life-giving source of God. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Jesus is the true vine, and God is the vine grower. Jesus points out he is the way, the true vine, but God is the creator, the vine grower, the giver of life. Everyone is getting pruned, the branches that don't bear fruit, the ones that do, so they bear more fruit. And Jesus promises that through him and the word that he has spoken, the disciples have already been cleansed. Jesus is teaching the disciples and us in this passage that God is not one doing the judging. Rather, in the reality of this passage, we judge ourselves in the light of the promise Jesus gives us. The invitation to abide in Jesus is to love and forgive and recognize everyone as a child of God. When we don't react positively to that invitation, we feel separation from God. Not because God separates us. Remember, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Rather, because we choose not to love as Jesus asks us to do. Now, the Greek word for thrown away, as we hear in verse 6, is balo. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. This word balo is also translated as cast out, which is the same word used to describe the man who was born blind. When we don't abide in Jesus' love and acceptance by offering it to others, we feel casted out. We feel balo. When we deny others the new life-giving promise of God, something within us withers. And maybe even more influential, as people witness Christians who do not love their neighbor or do not help them or turn them away or do not accept them, the branch becomes separate from the vine and the message of love actually withers. The promise in this passage is, we are the branches. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. But God is glorified when we bear much fruit and become disciples. As we abide in Jesus and his words abide in us, we bear much fruit. We is the collective, and the fruit is the inclusion of all people. You and I, we are invited to abide in Jesus. And as we love and accept others, we abide in Jesus. And yet, until everyone abides in Jesus, some are going to feel cast out or balo. Part of our souls will actually feel thrown away. Our call as disciples is for everyone to abide in Jesus and bear much fruit, which leads me to believe that the Common Revised Lectionary got it right when they paired this gospel up with their first reading we heard in Acts of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, if you don't know, a eunuch is someone who was castrated. Many eunuchs were illicit sons of kings, and to protect their true line, they would have these illegitimate sons castrated. So they would have no claim to the throne because they could not bear an heir. Or sometimes they were just men or boys put in charge of princesses and their harems and castrated for obvious reasons. The title Ethiopian meant more than just geography. Dr. Michael Skinner from Luther Seminary says the term used to describe him, Ethiopian, literally burnt face in Greek, indicates the dark skin color of the people, but it also could have resonated with the Greco-Roman literature that speaks of Ethiopians as people who lived on the fringes of the inhabited world. Greco-Roman authors sometimes use the term, which when characterized sub-Saharan Africans as residents of a totally different land, almost a parallel society. Some authors refer to that society as a romanticized respect, with a romanticized respect, while others viewed it as inferior. The point is that the appearance of the Ethiopian in Acts might well elicit thoughts of the ends of the earth from a Roman limited outlook on the world. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we read, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth." Jesus, the true vine, the love of God, the vine grower, through the Holy Spirit, will include everyone from here to the ends of the earth, including this Ethiopian. One of the first things I think about when I read the story of the Ethiopian and Philip is, why was the Ethiopian even there in the first place? Well, we're told that he was there to worship. No one is sure what type of worship. People smarter than I have done many studies to figure out if this Ethiopian was a Jewish person or a Gentile, a convert, a proselyte, maybe a God-fearer. No way to tell for sure, but the most important thing to remember is he traveled from south of Egypt to Jerusalem to worship. And because he was reading the scroll of Isaiah, I believe it's safe to say that he belonged to the Jewish faith and was there to worship God. Now imagine that, people, traveling 1,500 miles one way to worship, maybe wanting to be baptized. Most of you today only had to travel to your living rooms. Yet he comes 1,500 miles. He makes the trip, and I wonder how he was received when he arrived. I wonder what the temple guards might have thought in a Greco-Roman world about a eunuch trying to worship in their temple, to bathe in their pools, to sit next to the room called the Holy of Holies. This Ethiopian would have had very dark skin. Depending on the circumstances of his castration and what age it took place, the lack of testosterone in his body would have made his voice probably a little bit higher. Fat deposits might have been appearing on his chest. He definitely would not have been seen or thought of as a man. At best, maybe a non-man. My educated guess, they would have turned him away for not being whole or clean or many other discriminatory reasons. Humiliated, this Ethiopian eunuch simply got into his chariot and heads back from where he came. But the Spirit is up to something. She calls to Philip and tells him, go over there to that chariot and join in. He runs to it and hears the Ethiopian reading from the book of Isaiah. He asked, do you understand what you are reading? He replied, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this, like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shears, he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, about whom may I ask you? Does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. This is where Philip begins his sermon and preaches the good news of Jesus Christ and the promise of abiding in him and Jesus abiding in us. There's something tricky about preaching. As we preach the good news, everyone hears it a little bit differently. The Spirit is at work in the word as it is preached. As the Spirit works, the word is molded into our context. We see it through our own lens. We hear it through our hearts in a way that shape our souls. You might ask, Pastor, what do you mean? And I'll answer it this way. Well, people come up to me after I preach and they'll say, Pastor, what you said there really made a mark in my life, and it matched up with this part, and I just can't imagine that you said it that way. And then I think to myself, I said that? I don't think I said that. But it doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit spoke to that individual through the sermon, through the word, and that is definitely what they heard. My point is, the words of Philip used are not as important as the Spirit working in the Ethiopian's heart. No matter what Philip preached or said, the Ethiopian heard, Jesus is the vine and I am the branches. As Jesus was humiliated by the religious leaders, I mean, Jesus did nothing wrong, yet he was treated horribly. He was stripped, whipped, beaten, put to death, even the humiliation of death on a cross. The Ethiopian came 1,500 miles and was humiliated because he, just simply because of what he was. Not really a man, not a woman, but something in between. He was turned away just because of that and not welcomed. He also was humiliated and not allowed in the pools of the temple, not allowed in the temple, not allowed anywhere because people just didn't. They held who he was against him. And it finally clicked for the Ethiopian eunuch. Hearing the story, hearing Philip explain the scripture, He must have thought Jesus was treated badly by the religious leaders, and I can relate to that type of humiliation. If God loves me for who I am, what can stop me from being baptized? Not the temple guards, not the approval of others, nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. They see this water and they stop the chariot so Philip can go baptize him, and the 3,000-mile round trip was worth it. The Ethiopian became the branch which bears much fruit. The good news of God is that we abide in God because God abides in us. We are the branches. Jesus is the vine from which we can and are called to love our neighbors. This love is an inclusive love. We are not called to guard who is able to receive this gift. We cannot prevent others from abiding in Jesus. We are called to welcome and share the good news of Christ. We should not stand in the way of others coming to our temples, coming to our churches, or our pulpits because they look different than we do, or because their gender is not as clear as we think it should be. We cannot stop people from being baptized because of who they are or who they choose to love in a healthy relationship. We cannot stand in the way of the Spirit, just as Philip didn't question the Spirit who sent him to the Ethiopian eunuch. That is not the way of Jesus, and it's not the way of the Spirit. Love and acceptance abide in Jesus. And if we abide in Jesus, love and acceptance will abide in us so that no one is thrown away or feels cast out. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and God's love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in God and He in us, because He has given us of the Spirit. Amen.